wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to the Gridiron Guys, and on today's show we are joined by Paddy Lynch, a Queensland lad who was just recently plying his trade at Youngstown State University in Ohio. How are you going today, mate?
Doing well, mate. Yeah, it's just ticked over 9 p.m. here in Pittsburgh. Nice and cold, but yeah, doing well yourself.
Yeah, we're going well here, isn't it? I think we're slowly starting to get into a bit of winter here today. I think we're sort of based a bit out of Canberra and things like that. And this morning it was starting to get close to, I think, 1 or 0 degrees. So feeling that little pinch at the moment, but certainly not what you're getting over there, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's it. My mum's in Melbourne at the moment. And every time she complains about the cold weather, I'm like, you don't know a thing.
Yeah, it's just crazy over there. Now, I guess we, Zach just mentioned at the start there, Queensland boy. So take us back to a young Paddy growing up in Northern State in Queensland. Is that where you're originally from and where you grew up?
Yeah. So born and raised in Emerald, small town. I don't know if you know where Rockhampton is.
Yep.
It's about 3 hours, 300 kilometres inland of that. So, real small town. I was there when we got the first set of traffic lights in the town, and that was the biggest deal ever. grew up there. I think I was there until I was about 13, then got shipped off to boarding school in Brizzy.
How was that experience? Did you end? Where'd you end up at?
Ended up at Nudgee College in Brisbane, so on the north side of Brizzy.
Ah,
that's a big rugby school, isn't it? So you weren't rugby, were you?
Yeah, massive rugby school. I mean, grew up. Dad was from Melbourne. Mum from Adelaide. So both like real AFL orientated states. But yeah, definitely growing up in Queensland, I had to try my hand at it for sure.
I suppose growing up, were you sort of a really sporty kid? You know, you sort of mentioned AFL and trying other stuff. Did you ever have any eyes on like American football or American sports in general?
No, I didn't really touch think of American football until Pro Kick came about. I only really heard about it because I'm a massive Saints fan, and of course Sipos, when he got signed to the Lions that year, that's really what spiked my interest in it.
Yeah, right. That's very cool. So I guess growing up, did you play a lot of footy, like any rep stuff, like Queensland, anything around there?
Nothing really, because, I wasn't able to play any footy in Emerald because we didn't have, like, it's all rugby there. There's no AFL.
Yeah.
So Dad used to drive me 3 hours to Rocky, and I played for a team there. As far as rep stuff goes, no, I played for, when I was down in Brizzy, I played for Aspley. They had a Neefel side. Neefel's shut down now, but they had a Neefel side. Could never crack it. I wanted that was a goal as a young kid, but never quite eventuated.
Nah, that's all right. Between the two of us, we're both, you know, really local footy nuffies as well. So we get it. Like there's nothing better than getting down to your local club and playing country footy and things like that. I suppose looking at
Absolutely.
Yourself. Yeah, I suppose looking at yourself post-footy, what sort of led you down to that path to join Pro Kick? I suppose you mentioned the Sipos thing, but did you yourself ever have like a big boot or were you just kind of looking for like that other avenue? As you said, it was not able to crack it in the AFL. Was this sort of a different avenue to get that higher level of sport?
Yeah, I mean, like I've always chased the the professional athlete kind of thing. I ended up moving from Brizzy down to Melbourne to try and like give like footy the best crack I could. And I got down there, it was November 2019. Then COVID came about. Just finished the whole preseason with Williamstown, and then COVID hit and ended up, season got cancelled. Everyone was like locked in the houses. Like you remember, it was pretty rough and old lockdown. But yeah, then I that was about the same time that Sipos got signed to the Lions. From there I learned about Pro Kick and figured, I did have a bit of a bigger leg, set shots from outside 50. I was always giving it a crack, whether it be straight or not. Yeah. And then, yeah, I heard about ProKick when Sipos got signed and figured the opportunity to live on the other side of the world, get a degree paid for and like play like a professional level of sport in front of thousands of people. I thought, why not?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great opportunity for you. For you, you're trying to find like your way into ProKick. Was it just a matter of, I know we've talked to Chappie and the boys before, like you found ProKick and then once you've got in, did it take a lot for you to adjust to the training and the kicking style?
Yeah, it was, in terms of the process, it was basically, yeah, heard about ProKick, sent Chappie and Johnny a message. They said, come on down for an assessment. Went down, kicked a few balls in front of Chappie. He was like, yep, feel free to join. And then, yeah, joined the program. And then, yeah, it's definitely an adjustment. Coming from, like, all the mechanics from a drop punt, trying to convert to the traditional style of punting, it was a bit tricky. I don't know how much you guys know about my career at Youngstown, but I was always rolling out, hitting drop punts, just sticking to what I know, basically.
Yeah, I suppose, and you mentioned you ended up at Youngstown State. How long did it take for that sort of offer to come about and, you know, what sort of drew you to that school?
Yeah, so it was I was pretty in and out of ProKick in terms of, like, the amount of training that I had because, yeah, I think I might have joined in, like, May of 2020. I think I had about 3 weeks of in-person training. Then the whole thing shut down. And then towards, like, the end of October or start of October, we were just starting to get back out. During that interim, it was just a lot of training on my own, training with one other person because that's all you were allowed to do with those crazy lockdown laws. And then, yeah, it was October came around. We were finally into full training back at ProKick and Johnny came up to me and said, let's go set a film and just happened to have a good day. Got a good set of film. He didn't tell me, like, what school he was talking to. Obviously he sent it to Youngstown and then they were on the phone, I think it was the next day. They offered.
That's huge. Cause I think, I know the boys have all talked about, they always get phone calls from Johnny at all kinds of times in the morning. And then they just got a phone on the school and you got to be ready. But I mean, that's unbelievable. Just a quick transition across to, I mean, it's Ohio. We know what was it like if, I guess, as soon as I'm assuming you got the offer and moved over straight away, how did you find that settling in?
Yeah. It was definitely a real quick turnaround. I think I got the offer like late October, early November. And then I was on a plane like January 1st, January 2nd or something. It was an adjustment for sure. I didn't really know a whole lot about Youngstown. I looked up a couple of photos on Google Images. I was like, yeah, it doesn't look bad. So packed my bags, came over. I heard it was cold, but I figured, I've been living in Melbourne for a year. How bad could it be? I think I got off the plane, smack bang middle of January and shorts and a hoodie, thinking that'd be enough. Definitely regretted that one.
Yeah, and looking at sort of your career and some of the stats and things like that, it looks like you guys kind of came in and hit the ground running, didn't you? Like on a football side of things, because you had that spring season at the start of 2021. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I would say we hit the ground running. I think 1-7 in that spring season, well, if you want to call that hit the ground running, sure. I don't know how to go about it because definitely he didn't hit the ground running, but ended up in our final season we went 7-4, so that was a lot better note to end the career on. There was a bit of argument that we should have been in playoffs, but at the end of the day it's up to the committee and what they choose as final.
Yeah, and I suppose, maybe like hit the ground running was a bit of a tough term, but I suppose looking at that first season, you pretty much come straight in and you've got to go straight into basically game time. And I suppose this is something we've talked about a couple of the other boys. They always talk about how hard it is to adjust from basically training to then going into a full game. How did you find that sort of experience, especially with not having the ability to have a pre-season under your belt per se with the team?
I know what you mean. It was really rushed because I got there. I think I arrived like January 2nd. Because I'd come from another country, I had a quarantine for 10 days. So I think it was like January 11th or January 12th or something. I managed to get my first training session. Got out, I think I had like two practices. My roommate got COVID, so I got contact traced. I was back in my room for another 7 days or something. Got out, I got COVID, bang, back in my room again. So I think I only had like 2 or 3 weeks of proper training before we were on the plane to North Dakota State playing my first game in the one of the loudest stadiums in college football.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. I mean, for you, how did you find that with COVID? I know it impacted everyone. Like, in terms of your team, was it really tough, especially moving somewhere new and then having to be stuck inside all the time?
Yeah, it was tough. And like on the team, it was just so, I mean, it was all I knew in terms of college football. But yeah, a lot of the boys were like complaining about just how different it was, because you'd have to have the test shoved up your nose like 3 times a week just to be able to play on a Saturday. And then, yeah, you'd have like players dropping off, getting contact traced during the season. My first game I had with like my starting long snapper, and then he got contact traced. So my second game, the second string in. So, yeah, in terms of like getting settled, there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for that.
And how'd you find those first couple of games? You know, you mentioned you're going straight into like North Dakota State and a few other guys. How was your sort of initial experience of the college football game?
Yeah, wild. Absolutely wild. Yeah, that North Dakota State game, we didn't win. But yeah, to go straight from like never playing a game before right into North Dakota State, that was a pretty big adjustment. Pretty like shell-shocked when I got in there. But yeah, I think my first ball was like 45 yards with like a yard of return or something. So once I got out there and did that, I was like, okay, yeah, this isn't like too far out of my reach. Like, this is something I can do here. Second game was against UNI at home. And yeah, didn't have a good game. Like I said, had that second string long snapper in, and yeah, just didn't play well. Ended up shanking a couple. I think there was a couple lucky fans that day that got a few balls. what was wild after that was like I got some messages on Twitter after that game saying, hey, like, I know you just got here, I'm sure you're missing home, like, I'll actually pay for your plane ticket if you leave now and go back to Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal.
Oh, mate, yes. I mean, we've talked a bit, like, I mean, the college football, like, fan base is just absolutely brutal on Twitter. We know a couple of the boys have copped it a little bit. I guess you were talking then about you, like, your first season, and then you build onto your second season, you guys get 4 wins, I think, and then you move across and then it's 4 losses in the next season. Like, for a team, did that surprise you guys, or did you know you were sort of building towards something there?
Yeah, 100%. We knew like we were building. Our like that spring season, it was like unlike any other. And that was our first season of the completely new coaching staff. So yeah, new head coach, like I think it was new offense coordinator, defense coordinator. Yeah. So we knew like nothing was really decided yet in terms of like our scheme, nothing was really set in stone. So we knew, yeah, a couple seasons it would take us to figure it out. And yeah, we ended up, I wouldn't say getting it done, but yeah, progressing in the right way for sure.
Yeah, certainly a lot more fun winning those games than losing them, I suppose. But I mean, how about yourself over those sort of 3 years building to that? How did you find your development personally? You know, like, you know, looking at your, just your box score and the stats range, it looks like you built your yards nicely. Your averages came a bit more consistently and things like that. How did you sort of feel your growth over those couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, when I first got there, I was pretty rattled. Didn't really feel confident on the field straight away. But yeah, over the years, you learn to feel a little bit more comfortable with it. Hang on to the ball a little bit longer if they're not rushing. And yeah, basically, at the end of the day, just thinking you're catching and kicking a ball. Like, you've been doing this your whole life. There's no reason to be nervous.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, we sort of had a look at a bit of your stuff, and there's probably one game in particular we want to ask about. I don't know if it's the right word, Macomb Miracle. You guys came from absolutely dead, scoring multiple times in those like dying minutes, got home by 1 against Western Illinois. Being part of that game, what was that like? That's just huge.
Yeah, that was unreal. I think, yeah, like I hated that team, Western Illinois. I think with my first season, they took a punt back to the house on me. So ever since then. Like, I've absolutely hated him. And I don't know how much you know about that game, but a bit of me time here. We, I think we were down by, might have been 10, down by 10 with 2 minutes to go or something. And then we get up the field, score a touchdown. And then we're down by 4 with an extra point to come. So I'm holding for the extra point. Snap comes, fumble it, and then just have to have a fire call. So I pick it up, roll out, and ended up finding our tight end in the back of the end zone. Probably threw the ugliest spiral of my life, but by some miracle ended up catching it. So that put us within 2 points. And then, yeah, we got a quick 3-and-out, got him to punt the ball, came back down the field and kicked a field goal to win it.
How'd the coaching staff feel about your mid-game adjustment in there?
Yeah, great. I just said, just as we drew it up, coach.
Yeah.
Mate, it's unbelievable. Yeah, we probably need to watch a bit more of that, get a bit of footage of you throwing that one. Going back to class that week, like, what was the sort of reception for you guys after big games like that or big wins when you guys come back?
Yeah, it's always, yeah, it's, I mean, you know, social media nowadays, it blows a lot of stuff up. But yeah, all your professors in your classes and stuff are congratulating you, and all your other mates and stuff around the college, they are, yeah, they certainly get around you, that's for sure.
Speaking of that, were there any sort of other big games, you know, rivalry weeks or good wins that, you know, really stuck with you over your 3 years?
In terms of good wins, I mean, when we played North Dakota State, never got to beat them, but that was always one that we circled on the calendar. Yeah, obviously they're pretty much the standard when it comes to FCS football, and so whenever we played them, it was a test. The out of conference games, the big ones, I'll always remember. Like, we played Michigan State and Kentucky. They were, yeah, that was just insane. Like, playing in front of 70,000. In terms of wins, I think our first win that I had against South Dakota, actually finally been able to sing the team song. That was a lot of fun. Didn't know the words, but yeah, it's good to pretend.
Oh, that's unbelievable. Yeah, I suppose you see those teams getting their paper sheet of paper out to sing their songs. You mentioned talking about those Division I schools, and I guess for some of our listeners, like, they don't actually know a huge amount. Maybe they know more about NFL and college level. Is they don't know the difference maybe between FCS, FBS. What was the difference like in terms of the opponent that you played when you got to the FBS playing against some of those FBS guys?
Yeah, it was a lot different. In terms of what I saw, obviously I was like focused on the punt scheme, but just the returners, like, they could bring anything back. If you don't, like, if your gunners aren't getting down there and like forcing a fair catch, or they give them, you outkick your coverage by a little bit, they'll make you pay for it.
Yeah, it's crazy to sort of see. And I mean, you guys played Michigan State. You had that University of Kentucky game as well, when they were actually firing this year with a few good guys. So it would have been really, you know, backs up against the wall, I suppose, type thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a real David and Goliath battle. Like, it's like a lot of fun. Like, you've really got nothing to lose there. So you can play a little bit more. You can try some trick stuff if you want, because no one's really expecting you to pull a rabbit out of the hat. So, yeah.
And I mean, turning towards your career, you sort of had those 3 years at the Penguins. And I sort of noticed on your Instagram the other day, you've signed with NA3 Sports Agency and looked to be targeting the draft. When did you start to feel like you could potentially take that jump to the next level?
I've always been pretty confident in my ability, but in terms of, like, actually thinking, yeah, like, professional football is an option here. I think my last season, after 2 games, I was top 5 in the country for net punting with like a 48-yard average or something. And that's when Jimmy, my agent, first, that's why when we started having a conversation, we said, we can't talk now because, like, there's like formalities around being able to, like, talk about certain things and look at paperwork and stuff. But he said, message me at the end of the year and we'll see what we can do. So, yeah, the time came around to to where you, like, we were allowed to sign with agents. And yeah, like I said, Jimmy was there at the start of the season, so messaged him and yeah, pretty much signed without thinking twice.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a no-brainer for you. I think transition going from college athlete and then preparing for something like this, do you still sort of do stuff through the uni, or do you have to sort of go out on your own and find people to train with? And then do you also have a pro day that you're a part of?
Yeah. So in terms of training, I've just moved to Pittsburgh now, but while I was still living in Youngstown, like, they were more than happy for me to still use the facilities. We're really fortunate at Youngstown. We've got great facilities. We've got like a state-of-the-art indoor facility in Ohio that's it's definitely needed. And now living in Pittsburgh, again, really fortunate. Sam Vanderhaar is one of my best mates, and he's at University of Pittsburgh.
Nice.
And he's got, like, access to their facility, and he brings me in all the time when it's too cold to punt outside, and they've got the big indoor.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at the NFL, are you sort of targeting just that, or are there any other pro avenues that you're looking to explore through football?
Yeah, I'm pretty much open. I'm open to a lot of things at the moment. I had the CFL showcase. It was like Canadian Football League thing. That was 3 weeks ago now, I think, 3 or 4 weeks ago. We went out to, flew out to San Diego. And got to kick in front of like, I think all teams from CFL were there, and special teams coordinators, a couple head coaches. So yeah, the draft for that isn't for until May, I don't think. So yeah, that's an option I'll explore if given that opportunity.
Yeah, super exciting times ahead, I guess. And then I guess we've talked about on the field sort of stuff. What does the next sort of step look like you off the field? We've noticed you've completed the Bachelor's of Sports Management and you got a Master's in Communication. Correct me if we are wrong here. What's the plans for you going forward?
Yeah, no, you've hit the nail on the head there. That's exactly right. I've always been obsessed with the elite sports industry and want to be around it in any way I can. And I think being a player agent is something I'd love to be a part of. I mean, going through the process myself with NA3 Sports, I just think it'd be so much fun to try and find that diamond in the rough from maybe a small school and watch them make a big time. And yeah, really just like having someone out in the field that you're rooting for.
No, it's perfect. It looks like it's a good idea. You know, you've got that on field and that off field, and you can sort of see where both of them sort of meld together, and you know, creating that perfect pathway for yourself, which looks like it's going to be really exciting for you.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, looking forward to what's to come.
No, well, perfect. I think that might sort of wrap us up here. Look, Paddy, thanks again for jumping on. We really appreciate it, and you know, we look forward to sort of seeing you on draft night and hopefully getting that name called up.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, me too. Yeah, appreciate you having me on, guys. I've had a lot of fun. Thanks, heaps.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.